Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's outreach task force drafting team call on Friday the 19th of August. We have Roy Dykes, Deborah Hughes, Carlos Aguirre from staff. We have Julie Headland and myself, Gisela Gruber, and apologies noted today from Olga Cavalli. If I could just please remind you to please state your names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Julie.
Thank you very much, Gisela. This is Julie Headland. I will note that Olga Cavalli cannot be with us today, and she was wondering if Debbie, if you would like to chair the meeting in her place.
Sure, I'm happy to chair the meeting.
Great. Thank you, everyone, for our agenda today. We are continuing to review the draft charter, and Roy has sent some very helpful edits, and I've loaded that latest version of the document into the Adobe Connect room. Since I know that Roy has to leave after half an hour, perhaps we could just start going through the document, and his changes are highlighted, and we could address each one of them. Debbie, does that sound like a suitable way forward?
That sounds perfect and very, very organized.
Thank you, Debbie. So I'm manipulating the document on the screen. I'm on the first changes I see start in Section 2, Mission, Purpose, Objectives, and Deliverables. Under Purpose, it says the OTF is to produce an analysis of the current GNSO outreach activities and to produce an executable GNSO global outreach strategy to address gaps in outreach.
So this is Roy, and maybe this is maybe it's redundant here, but my thinking was that for the recommendation that came through that the draft charter was built off of, it looked to me that the output was a strategy, but I think really the output of the task force is something that can be put into action, and maybe this word doesn't need to be put in there. I was just thinking, for clarity's sake, and that's how the team would want to move forward, to have something that we can that's actually executable. And I mean, a strategy to me is something that's on paper, but maybe I'm taking it too literally.
Thanks, Roy. Carlos, did you have any comments on that?
I agree with Royce. For me, it's redundant, but it's not bad. It's okay for me.
Okay, and this is Debbie, and I also agree that I think that the addition of the word executable adds a little bit of meat to the work of the group, so I think that's good.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Great, thank you. This is Julie, and I note that addition is also made under the scope section, and obviously that's a consistent change with the previous one in executable global outreach strategy. Moving on to objectives and goals, we've got changes from Debbie and from Roy. In objective one, says, especially appoint the OTF chair, vice chair, and establish steering committee with representatives from stakeholder groups and constituencies, especially those who are engaged in outreach efforts in those groups.
Right. So this was kind of consistent with some of the language from the recommendations that the members of this new task force be folks who are already working on outreach for perhaps their constituency or stakeholder group. But what I didn't want it, I didn't want that sentence to say to exclude those who weren't. So I guess what I'm saying is some constituencies and stakeholder groups may not be already working or already engaged in outreach efforts. So to the extent that there are those who are, we especially want those. But if not, then that's fine too. Does everybody understand the intent behind that?
Yes, I do.
Carlos, did you have any comments on that addition?
No, I think it is another term, especially those, is also redundant, because the people who are engaged in outreach efforts are compromised and participate, in my point of view. I don't know if necessary to put this, but it's not bad, but it's redundant also for me.
I mean, I'm not, this is Debbie, I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, tied to the language, I guess what I just didn't want the sentence to read. If the sentence is without that sentence, it says, a committee with representatives from stakeholder groups and constituencies who are engaged in outreach efforts in those groups. If there's a group that doesn't have representatives that aren't engaged, I wouldn't want them to be prohibited from participating. So that was the intent. But I have no, you know, strong feelings about having, you know, the words included. So, you know, I'm happy to suggest that we remove those language. Roy, I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, I think it's good. I think it's a good addition.
Okay. So, Carlos, are you okay with keeping it, or would you prefer us to try to think of something else?
No, it's no bad. For me, it's okay, but
okay.
It's okay.
All right, well, this is Julie. Thank you for that. Moving along under Objective 2, we have a couple of additions. Based on the discussion at our last meeting, I had added at the end of Objective 2, such as ICANN's other supporting organizations and advisory committees. And I'm not sure if including but not limited to, if that's your change, Roy, and then any board committees, or if that's your change, I'm not sure whose changes those are. Concerning board committees, there is a board committee, and we do mention it further down in the document. We could list it here as well. There is a board public participation committee that could be relevant.
Right, and I apologize. I did see that later, but reading sequentially, I hadn't seen it to that point. So
it certainly and it certainly is relevant to add board committees here.
Okay, I just don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay striking that language there. I hadn't gotten far enough through the document to realize that they were listed later.
Sorry, Carlos here. At this point, I don't understand very well why the addition.
So I think, you know, at the last meeting we talked about sort of looking beyond the stakeholder groups and constituencies, others interested in ICANN activities. I think we specifically mentioned the supporting organizations and advisory committees. And there is a board committee, the Board Public Participation Committee. I guess the question is, do we need to list all of those groups here under Objective 2? We do have an opportunity to list the various groups later on in the document more specifically. So, you know, I guess the question is whether or not we need to list everyone that we want to reach out to in this objective, or if we want to detail that further on. Do you have any feelings or thoughts on that, Carlos?
Who is the author of this edition?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that, Carlos.
No, I say, what is the author of this edition?
So
or this comment, or
the purpose of the addition was to say that in addition to ICANN, GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, and others interested in ICANN activities, then examples of those others interested in ICANN activities include ICANN's other supporting organizations and advisory committees, and board committees. So those are sort of examples of the phrase or of the phrase others interested in ICANN activities. And perhaps it's not clear, perhaps we don't need to list them out here. Debbie, what do you think?
This is Debbie. I'm thinking perhaps we could provide that detail later in, section 3, where we talk about membership criteria, perhaps?
And
I think we actually have it listed, in the draft that I'm looking, in the updated draft, it's the ICANN Board Public Participation Committee is listed there. So perhaps maybe we don't need it here.
Maybe I'll go ahead and strike the language here, and since we do have it elsewhere, and see if that is. I'll do that in the next version.
Roy, what are your thoughts?
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was okay striking the piece that I had added. But which was the piece in pink beginning with including?
Okay.
But I could go either way. You could take the whole thing out. We do mention it. It is mentioned later in the charter.
Yeah,
so.
We could. I mean, you could really end the sentence, Julie, if you wanted to, after activities, interested in ICANN activities, period, and then we could talk about what that means, I guess, later.
Okay.
Rather than trying to list with specificity here.
Great. Thanks, Debbie. This is Julie. I'll make that change. Since I know Roy has to leave, maybe I'll
move
on quickly. I'm looking down then at number 4 under Objective 3 that reads, people and organizations that may have submitted comments to ICANN but who are not regularly engaged in a GNSO working group. And I think this is Roy's question. Is there a repository of these comments? The OTF should be charged with reviewing these comments.
Yeah, so this is more this isn't necessarily an edit. As much as it is a comment, yeah, it just kind of a question, and maybe the question leads to an edit, but I'm not convinced.
Well, right. Just so you know, if people have submitted formal comments to ICANN through the public forum, those are indeed captured and archived. So if there are comments relating to outreach efforts, the OTF would be able to review them, as they are applicable. So the answer is yes, I guess, to your question. And then I guess the other part is, do we want to say, if we want to say somewhere, and I don't know if we need to say it in the charter about the OTF reviewing the comments.
Yeah, and that second statement really should have been another question.
I don't know where that. Let's continue to go through the charter. I'm not entirely sure I know where a detail like that would fit, because the charter is more of a high level document. You know, it's setting objectives, but not necessarily every activity.
Totally agree.
Well, let's see, because there is a list of the
sorry, Julie. At the Roy's question, my first answer is why not? Because OTF needs to analyze every comment. I think it's necessary to have in account this comment.
Hi, and this is Debbie. I agree, and I was thinking that, and I know we're not there yet, but in Section 3 where Roy has this addition about what the targeted efforts of OTF, I was thinking that we could add in the task of reviewing the comments there, perhaps, like sticking that language and that concept in the addition that you made later. Roy, are you following what I'm saying? So in Section 3, the entire paragraph that you added about OTF should make targeted efforts to reach individuals, organizations. I was thinking that perhaps the directive of, reviewing comments to identify particular participants as well and things like that, that could all be put into that section.
Yeah, and I think that may have been something I added based on...
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, Julie.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm getting confused with the green and the colors.
I think because Carlos had asked for some additional text to be added, details to be added from the recommendations, so I added that green stuff. if it looks green to you. I don't know how these things show up. So yeah, but I this is Julie. I agree, Debbie, that we could put that additional detail down below where there are more specifics on the tasks for the OTF. Moving on to Roy's next comment, question he asked, are there other ICANN groups besides the GNFO stakeholder groups that can provide insight into overall ICANN outreach activities and or communities that could and should be targets of outreach activities? This is Julie, and I want to, and Debbie, you can, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure chime in on this too, but one of the things we talked about quite a bit in drawing up the original recommendations and that we were very careful about in the recommendations is that they are specific only to GNSO outreach, that is to getting people involved in the GNSO as opposed to ICANN, overall ICANN outreach, because this is
okay.
A GNSO document. So the GNSO basically can't tell, you know, ICANN how to do all of its outreach activities, but the GNSO, of course, can, you know, ICANN, you know, well, we think this is a good strategy to get people interested in the GNSO. So what we tried to pick up later in this document is, you know, the concept of working with ICANN staff who are involved in outreach, you know, and you know, so as not be redundant, you know, and to, you know, take advantage of those activities, but the target is GNSO, is getting more people involved in specifically in the GNSO.
Okay.
Debbie, did you want to comment on that?
Nope, that you summed it up perfectly.
So,
here for me.
Yeah, to answer your question, I think that we do want to try to make sure that we're liaising with those in ICANN who are doing outreach, as long as we make it clear that the focus is GNSO outreach. Carlos, does that sound right to you, too? Okay, I'm going to move along just because we've got, I'm showing 21 minutes after the hour. So there was a couple of things I added under Objective 4 based on the conversation at the last meeting that the OTF would consult with GNSO stakeholders, identify potential participants in the GNSO community and underrepresented populations, contact the following GNSO, following ICANN state recommendation for new participants as follows. Members of existing GNSO working groups and work teams, members of the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, participants in supporting organizations and advisory committees, and here's some of the detail that we, you know, sort of talked about. The ICANN Global Partnership Program, the ICANN Board Public Participation Committee, and then the RALOs and ALAC and the fellowship. So now you've got a question, Roy, I think relating to this. None of the ICANN technical groups should be targeted. So I wasn't sure what technical groups you were thinking of. Just as an example, the ESAC is one of the technical groups. It mm-hmm. is actually an advisory committee, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and the RSAC also, the Root Server Advisory Committee.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about the Root one.
But the ESAC would definitely be something that, you know, would be included in that, you know, participants in supporting organizations and advisory.
Okay.
Right, would be one of those technical.
Okay.
That is actually really the primary technical group, that and RSAC. And so I think that would include them by saying advisory committee. Is there
okay.
But it's a good question, Roy, and that is that, you know, we've listed, we've expanded this list a little bit. Do we need to expand it some more? And I think that was one of the questions we had from the last meeting. I personally couldn't think of any other groups within ICANN, but Carlos, you know, Roy, Debbie, if you've got other groups that aren't listed here, I'm happy to list them. I'm not, you know, necessarily that familiar with every single aspect of ICANN.
Hi, Julie. This is Debbie. So I'm just like glancing at the ICANN org chart, and all of those bubbles, I'll call them right now, that all point to the board of directors, all of those are considered advisory committees. Is that correct? So like the technical liaison group, the Internet Engineering Task Force, all of those, just so I'm clear Roy's question.
The Internet Engineering Task Force is not actually an ICANN group per se.
Okay.
And I'm just going to look at that chart too, because that's a good question.
Right, because I'm just going back to Roy's question, right?
Looking at the org chart, those are, I think, okay, so the GAC is one. That's one of the advisory committees. The IETF and the TLG must have liaisons because they're not, strictly speaking, advisory committees.
So do they have liaisons on the board?
No, they don't. Not so far as I know. So I'm not entirely sure why. Okay, so well, the ICANN technical liaison group is actually an ICANN group. All right.
Okay.
And that covers ETSI, ITUT, W3C, and IAB. Okay. And it connects with the board and provides technical advice. So I guess it's not an advisory committee. And then the IETF has a liaison.
Right. And they both have
there isn't any reason why we couldn't include them. And so this perhaps addresses Roy's point that we could add supporting organizations, advisory committees, and technical liaisons or something like that.
And that was my thought. I've got the picture up in front of me now. My thinking was the TLG more so than the IETF, but not knowing the details, I was just wondering. The other thing about this picture.
The TLG seems to make most sense to me because.
Right.
It's actually its own thing. I mean, it's a separate thing. So ICANN doesn't really have any authority to sort of, to engage there, but with the TLG. And thank you for picking that up, because like I said, I'm not familiar with all these little groups. So I'll add that in. Moving right along to goal. The next objective 5 and goal, develop recommendations for global outreach strategy, et cetera, et cetera. And the question is, the survey being number 5 above. I wasn't sure which 5. Let's see.
It talked about collecting. I'm looking at my copy.
Right. I think, but that is the survey that I'm referring to, but I probably need to be more specific. I'll try to make that more clear. And then another question, what outreach activities could there be outside of the ICANN community and ICANN events if such events were targeted? Would there need to be an overall ICANN education done? Those are good questions, Roy. My only concern is that those are sort of part of what would go into an outreach strategy, which isn't really detailed in the charter. I mean, that's part of obviously what the OTF will be developing. So there's information relating to that in the recommendations, which will obviously pick up as, when the OTF develops its strategy, which of course will be based on the survey and what seems to be working and not working and, what are existing activities and how can we, and events and how can we harness those activities and events. And I assume that the strategy would say, oh, well, if there's an ICANN meeting, there should always be something for, encouraging new, participation in the GNSO or something like that. But I guess my question is I'm not sure where we would put that, those specific things in the charter.
Yeah, if it's too low level, that's fine. It's probably just popped into my mind at the moment when thinking about other groups.
Debbie and Carlos, because I don't know, this is a struggle with a charter. It's how much do we put in the charter, and how, or do we want to, you know, how much do we keep it kind of open-ended so it's not, you know, we don't want to exclude things, but we want to make sure it doesn't prevent the OTF from doing things they should be doing later.
Yeah, this is Debbie, and I agree. I mean, there was, you know, the recommendations do mention us maximizing the use of the events, maximizing, you know, all sorts of things from a marketing perspective, and then when it speaks a lot about the strategy, you know, consider the development of global programming and that sort of thing, and maybe that's the kind of detail that we don't put in this charter, because they have, you know, the this team is going to have to reference the charter, yes, right? So, you know, they're going to have to reference the recommendation, so,
yes,
right?
They'll have to go back to the recommendations. The charter is really kind of setting the scope of work. It's kind of saying,
right,
these are the things that we know actually have to be done. You know, these are the things we want you to do, you know, and, you know, you're doing these things and maybe not other things, but anything related to these things. You want it to be broad enough so that it can cover anything that the OTF thinks it should do, you know, but not sort of a blank slate so that the OTF goes off and does a bunch of things that maybe aren't germane to the recommendations.
Sure.
So kind of scoping.
Okay. I am going to need to drop now, and I apologize.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Roy. Well, we'll keep talking through these. I think your next couple of questions we'll address, and then we'll just keep going through this, and I'll try to capture the changes, and then we'll try to do another meeting, maybe next week or the week after.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So moving back to where we just were, and find it. So Roy's next question was whether or not under deliverables, whether or not number 3 and 4 can be combined. One is conducting the survey, and the other is...
Sorry, Julie. Carlos here. Related to goals in the 4 point, I can't see that some recommendation about to reach the non English speakers because it's a special part in the document of recommendation to develop a global outreach program. Seems to me it's needed to put another point, like 0.5, to something like, I don't know, another recommendation like to reach the English non-English speakers. I don't know how could be the sentence, but I think it's needed a 0.5 because the document, the document base, put very clear in 1.1 and section 2.1 and section 2.2. Recommendation for a global outreach strategy to relevant members of the public, particularly non-English speakers and those from developing countries or regions. Understand me?
Yes, Carlos, this is Julie. I think that's an excellent point. We do have we've captured a little of that, but I think not enough, as you point out. We list in 3 the point about having translation to promote access to outreach.
Yeah, I understand, but I think it's not enough.
We need something more detailed there specifically relating
to
the speakers. Yeah, this is Debbie, I agree.
I will pull in that language from the recommendation and add another item.
That's great.
Thank you for that. So then, yeah, so I think we probably could then, looking down under deliverables, the conducting the survey and consulting mm-hmm. with stakeholders to identify potential participants probably could be combined, because the survey, part of the survey could be identifying potential participants.
Sure. Carlos, do you think that's a good idea to go ahead and combine those?
Yeah, I think it's possible to combine every point, and it's needed.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Carlos. So this is Julie. The next question Roy had was, how much effort should be spent on this activity, that is, conducting an analysis of effectiveness and balance of existing efforts and resources, versus identifying opportunities for improvement of existing efforts and identifying new opportunities for outreach?
Julie? Julie?
Yeah, Carlos?
Hi, Carlos.
No, this is Tony Harris.
What?
Oh, hi.
I'm sorry, I joined a few minutes late, but what page are you referring to of the document, please?
So we're in the Adobe Connect room, but if you want to just look at, we're looking at Roy's version of the document that he sent, I think, this morning or late last night. We're on page 4,
mm-hmm.
and at the top of page 4, Roy has included a comment. It actually shows up as a new number 7, but he's meant it as a comment slash question. He's referring to number 6, which has the task of conducting an analysis of the effectiveness and balance of existing efforts and resources, including the development of metrics to measure success. And Roy asked how much effort should be spent on this activity versus identifying opportunities for improvement of existing efforts and identifying new opportunities for outreach.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I don't have an answer to that question, and I don't know whether or not we want to provide more detail here as far as priorities within these tasks. I don't have a sense of that, so I guess I'm relying on you, and Debbie, Tony, Carlos, for how we might address Roy's question.
Related to this question, my comment is, my answer is, the maximum effort should be spent
on this activity. The analysis.
Sorry?
Right. At maximum effort on the analysis of the effectiveness and balance of existing efforts and resources.
Yeah.
Right. I think we could, I could add a little bit of language that indicates that this is a priority. It's actually listed further down in the deliverables, although they're somewhat in order of how they might proceed, but we could also move it up in priority a little bit, or at least indicate how much effort is given to this item.
Maybe this question needs some clarification. I'm not sure what are asking.
I'm not entirely sure either. What I'll do is, since Roy had to leave early, I'm going to include his question. I'll maybe alter the language a little bit in number 6, but I'm going to include his question as a comment to number 6, so we'll still be able to see it there, and we can come back to it and ask him for some additional explanation on what he was looking for.
Okay.
Moving along then to Section 3 membership criteria, we have the change that Debbie had also made in similar text above. That is, the steering committee should include representatives from stakeholder groups and constituencies, especially those who are engaged in outreach efforts in groups, to avoid duplication of effort. I can't show that comment there, but since this is a PDF. But Debbie had explained, Tony, Debbie had explained earlier in this meeting that since not all constituencies and stakeholder groups may be engaged in outreach activities, if you take out especially those, then it suggests that the steering committee only would include those who are engaged in outreach activities. But we want to give stakeholder groups and constituencies the opportunity to have representatives, not people who are specifically engaged in outreach activities. Did I capture that correctly, Debbie?
This is Debbie. You did, absolutely.
But we did.
That's okay.
We did accept that change earlier in similar language earlier in the document.
I agree. That makes sense.
Good. Thank you, Tony. So here's another question from Roy, and we may need him back in another meeting to explain this. It says, should the charter include the method of determining the composition of the steering committee? We do actually have, I think, a list of, I'm trying to find it now, of who the...
Hi, Julie, this is Debbie. Section 3 in the beginning lists who there should be a chair, vice chair, and then a representative from, you know, generally from stakeholder groups and constituencies.
Right, one representative from each constituency. We do include that, and perhaps we need to include that detail again here just to make sure we're referencing it, have it in front of us. We might need to show that. Since this is staffing and organization, maybe we need to repeat that under this section. Be clear. That would be very easy to add in. Then looking at the next paragraph, there's the change that we decided to strike in similar language earlier in the charter, and that is the OTF members should include experienced participants from the ICANN GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies and others interested in ICANN activities. We decided to end it with ICANN activities, period, as opposed to saying ICANN's other supporting organizations and advisory committees, because we do actually list further up in the document those, and I'm just showing it here, specifically who we're talking about, the members of GNSO working groups and work teams, members of the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies, participants in supporting organizations and advisory committees, and Tony, we're going to add there the technical liaison group as well, which has a
Yeah, I heard that.
Forward. Right, okay, you were on that, good. And so on. So the sense was that we didn't need to list out all of these groups in this particular section. They are listed above. Is that, do we agree with that?
Yeah, that's okay.
This is Debbie. This is fine for me, too.
Okay, and then there were some additional...
Sorry, Julie, Carlos here. What was our answer to the previous question? Sorry to back, but was not clear for me. The question, should the charter include determining the composition of steering committee, what was the answer?
Yeah, the answer was, thank you, Carlos, this is Julie, the answer was that the charter does include composition of the steering committee further up in the document, and we agreed, though, that it would be useful to list the composition of the steering committee in this section too, so that it is clear.
Okay, agree.
That it's the chair, the vice chair, and a representative from each of the stakeholder groups and constituencies.
Thank you, Judy.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Carlos. And I think that is consistent with what we've got here, because we also have some additional language here at the top of page 4 where we talk about the steering committee, including an ICANN staff liaison. And so I think that we can easily work in the composition here again, and that would make sense to list it. Then there was some additional language, just looking again at the bottom of page 4. I think Debbie had added this, I'm not sure. The steering committee should use its best efforts to encourage and recruit potential OTF members from each ICANN region with the, oh, and this may have been actually Olga too, with the goal that the OTF include members from each ICANN region.
I like that addition.
So this is Debbie. I know I had added some of that language, and I think Olga, you're right, Olga did insert some of that too. Carlos, what did you, Tony, I heard you say you like that, right?
I'm okay with that.
Okay, and Carlos?
Yes, it's good.
Okay.
And Roy has a question relating to this. He says, should the OTF contain more members from ICANN regions that are underrepresented, if possible, the goal being to help kickstart outreach?
That seems redundant to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we're saying that we're putting a member from each region, we are doing so whether they are represented or not, sort of. Carlos, what do you think?
I think the same than Tony. It's redundant for me.
Okay, good. Then in the top of page 5, I added some language, I think based on some suggestions you had, Carlos, from our last meeting of bringing in more detail from the recommendations. Not so much in this next paragraph, the OTF steering committee should include a staff liaison. I think that was just just a little bit of clarification. And we'll add, I think, right in here the composition of the steering committee so that it's clear again. But the additional language that I added that I pulled from the recommendations was that the OTF should make targeted efforts to reach individuals, organizations, universities, and members of academia, et cetera. This whole paragraph was pulled from the recommendations to emphasize the focus to just give a little bit more detail on the focus of the OTF, and pull this out of the recommendations. And so then we're also reiterating the sort of the list of organizations that and groups within ICANN that the OTF should target, and that's that list 1 through 7, and that we pick up the TLG liaison, the technical liaison group, to include that in the list as we discussed above. But Roy has a question: does it make sense for representatives from the CCNSO from Africa and Latin America to participate? Any thoughts?
Go ahead, Carlos. I'll go after.
I need some clarification from the author of this question, because.
Yeah.
In some sense, I consider an insult.
I see what you're saying, Julie. I guess perhaps a better question might be, we don't list the CCNSO specifically, but we do include participants from the CCNSO when we say in number 3, participants in supporting organizations and advisory committees. So we are including all of the CCNSO, and I think then we could leave it to the CCNSO to decide who would be their appropriate representatives, to participate in, participate with the OTF.
Julie, this is Tony. I'm sorry, I've got a sore throat today. But I do agree with Debbie. And I don't know if country codes in general, country code managers, would be all that much committed to something like this, from their history, at least within ICANN. I do want to point something out a bit further up in the text. In the first paragraph, the second sentence, this staff liaison should be someone designed by ICANN.
Oh, yes, designated.
That should be designated, right?
Mm. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tom.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, I think based on this conversation, I don't get the sense that we need to call out specific representatives from Africa or Latin America. So I think I'm going to we'll leave that alone as a recommendation. Looking in the next section, Roy had a question. I think is a good one. How does the OTF know when it has enough volunteers / participants? How does it know when it doesn't have enough? I think that's a good point. What we've typically done when we do call for volunteers for groups, and this is Julie again, is you want to get as broad representation as possible. I think we could say here that the OTF could review the participation, and if it determines that, participation is lacking from certain, groups, that it could, make specific outreach efforts to those groups or something along those lines. I mean, typically what we've done is if we have a work party, a work team that, we want to have, say, someone from each of the constituencies and stakeholders groups, and that really has to participate. Typically, what we've done, the council has done, and the secretariat has done on the council's behalf, has gone specifically to each of those constituencies and said, we really need to know who your representative is for this group. We really need to have someone from your group. Please pick someone. So sometimes we've had to make a more pointed outreach effort to make sure we have a good broad group. So we could say something along those lines if we needed to. Any thoughts? So maybe I'll try to put the language in there and see what you'll do.
Julie?
Please go ahead, Tony.
Okay. Yeah, we're still on the question, enough volunteers, right?
Right.
Basically, one thing we might take into account is, that it doesn't get out of hand. In other words, too many people can also be a problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you, Tony. I think perhaps I'll try to put some language in that. I think that, we don't have a set size to the OTF, but we may want to have a size limit. The steering committee, is meant to be a small group that really directs the work, but it also could be, as you point out, a problem if the overall size of the OTF with its various advisors and so on is unwieldy. So I don't have a sense of what that size should be. I don't know. I'll try to suggest some language, and then maybe we can hash it out on the next call. But thank you for that. Moving to the next page, page 6, and the next comment. So Roy has asked, under renewal and dissolution, what are the criteria for disbanding the OTF and or continuing it? Perhaps this should be outlined as part of the metrics for measuring the success of OTF activities. That's a good point, and we just simply say that it's subject to renewal, and I think that was something that the OSC had really wanted, is to have a term, but we don't see that as a renewal.
Well, it says the GNSO Council may resolve to dissolve the OTF at any time.
Right. So we know it can come to an end, but Roy is wondering, do we need to say for what reason should it end or continue? I mean, is there a way to should there be metrics to determine whether or not it's, it hasn't completed its work, or, it has and so is it done, or something like that?
Well, I really think that's for the council to discuss.
Yeah, I think that's why
sorry.
I Yeah, sorry, Tony. I think that's why, this is Julie, I left it the way it was, because the council would be, I mean, we do say that the OTF is giving regular reports to the council. That's somewhere in here. And putting on there to go on. And so, you know, the council could say at the end of 2012, you know, you've got three more tasks to complete. Okay, it's worth, you know, having you continue for X amount of time. But that would totally depend on what the council thinks at that point. So it's kind of hard to say to be that.
Sorry, Julie, Carlos here. I tend to agree with Tony. I think it's the Genesis Council who determine what is the criteria to maintain or not the OTF in the future. I think the document base talk about precisely about to eliminate the bureaucracy. So I think it's good the answer made by Tony.
Carlos,
it's not necessary to fix here the measuring. I think it's my point of view. No?
This is Julie. Thank you, Carlos, and thank you, Tony, for those comments. I think then I will leave this text as is and not make any changes. Scanning through the document, I don't see any other comments. Oh, wait, there is one more. Sorry, going to page 9, at the bottom of page 9 under assessment. The OTF shall complete a self-assessment of the effectiveness of its activities for presentation to the NSO Council at each council meeting held at an ICANN meeting. And Roy says here, this assessment should include measurements against metrics set out at the beginning of the OTF creation. Do we want to add that?
Julie?
Please.
I think this goes to the previous question, because we just agreed with Carlos that setting metrics into this text would not be necessary, because the council would be resolving these issues.
Yeah, this is Julie. Thank you, Tony. That was my sense, too. I just wanted to ensure that I understood that correctly, but thank you. Then I will not make a
change. I agree with Tony.
So I have just a couple more minutes left on this call that from our schedule, as far as I can see. I think we have talked through all of the document, and I have a sense, I think, of how, you know, what changes to make. So my goal, my task will be to send a revised version of the document. I'll have it ready by Monday at the latest for all of you to review. So whether or not we meet next Friday or the following Friday, next Friday is the 26th, and I think we do want to get something to the council to begin to review. I can say that the council will not be reviewing this at its meeting on the 8th of September. That agenda is extremely full, and I know that Stefan is very concerned about what's on that agenda. But that doesn't mean that we can't get the charter to the council to begin their consideration of it and set it up perhaps for approval at the next council meeting, which would be a few weeks after the one on the 8th. I forget the exact date. So, do we
Julie?
Yes, please go ahead, Tony.
I have no problem with the date. My only question is, there seem to be very few people on the call today. Would next week will people be back working in Europe, in the Northern Hemisphere next week, or should we wait another week?
Well, I think actually, Tony, I think the only person that we're missing here is Olga. This is actually a very small group. Gisela, is that correct? Maybe I'm mute. But we do have this drafting team is actually quite small. So I think... she's the only one missing, but and hopefully she could join us next week. If everybody agrees, I can go ahead and set the call for next week, Friday. I think probably we're very close to finalizing this document with these additional changes.
Okay, fine.
So why don't I do that? If people have a concern, you know, let me know when I send the notes around. I mean, when I send the notice around and the revised charter, but otherwise we'll shoot for next Friday at the same time.
I have one more question, Julie.
Go ahead, Tony.
This is Tony. Will this group be having, or let's say the whole group, not just the drafting team, will there be a face-to-face meeting in Senegal on this?
Well, if I think the goal is to have at least a steering committee formed prior to Senegal. So the OTF steering committee, at the very least, I think could meet in Senegal. Whether or not the recruitment effort for the full OTF would be complete by then, I can't say for sure. Of course, that will depend on how that is proceeding. I see that I have recruitment, as suggested, scheduled from the end of September through the end of November. But we have the chair, vice chair, and steering committee completion date of selection by end of September. So to answer your question, I would say yes, at least the steering committee could meet in Senegal. And I'm glad that you raised that because I will try to block off some time for that meeting when I put in my request for meetings for Senegal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, that's excellent. Any other questions or comments before we close the call?
Nope.
Thank you very much. And I hope you have
thank
a good
you, Julie.
Morning, afternoon, or evening, and we will end next Friday. And
thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Julie.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.